Thank you. I was supposed to introduce Pastor Q, but I got lost in the music and the worship. So I was like, Pastor Q was like, are you going to introduce me? It's like something about the, hey, what? Oh, man. All right. I'm going to introduce Pastor Q. You guys already know him probably, but I want to do the introduction, some justice here. So Pastor Q is a visionary and church planner and former executive pastor at New Song LA. I didn't know that part. You're a former executive pastor at New Song. As you guys know, Pastor Gibbons, Dave Gibbons from New Song is the one that introduced us. You know, so I want to thank him. Pastor Q, 16 years ago, he established the Row LA, the Church Without Walls, Skid Row, of which he continues to pastor to this day. Along his ministry, Pastor Q advocates for the rights of houseless people, immigrants, Muslims, and many others who are marginalized and vulnerable in our society. Among his main areas of interest is increasing police accountability and dismantling mass incarceration in LA. Can I get an amen? He created Hip Hop Smoothies, which we got to be a part of, guys, as a social enterprise to economically empower those in Skid Row. Now, before I just bring him up, I want you to guys, you heard me say this last week. There is a huge difference than spiritual prophets, and I believe what the Bible calls prophets. Spiritual prophets are always trying to get us to think about going to heaven someday. Biblical prophets are interested in saying heaven must come to earth now. It's something is not right. Spiritual prophets of our land is trying to get us from comfort to comfort. But true prophets are saying there's discomfort, there's injustice, and God wants something done here and now. Amen? And we need this, church. We need this, or else we, especially those of us that live in Orange County, we will seek spiritual prophets if we do not humble ourselves, quiet our hearts, and listen for the prophetic rumbling of our God in our land. And I really believe it's the gift of God that God has brought Pastor Q to our church, because I believe many of you feel the rumbling in your spirit already. I really believe after today, many of you will not just be involved with Recess or our houseless feeding Koinonia with Kevin Dew or even Safe Families. I believe some of you will actually join the Road Church in LA. I really do. I really believe some of you guys will go there and help out and be a part of it. Now, one more thing, what I love about Pastor Q. When I went there with Pastor Isaac, and we got to serve at the smoothie, the hip-hop smoothie. First of all, the music there was thumping, and it was like, I felt like I don't belong here, okay? Because it was so cool. But one thing I really, what I loved about Pastor Q, he's not just a prophet. In my view, he's a pastor. The people there know him. And that's what made me feel safe, that this man is not just a voice, but he's a shepherd. Everyone there knew him. It was amazing, right? People across the street were yelling, hey, Pastor Q, and people coming in. Everybody knew what they were up to was safe for them. And I really felt I was in God's presence that day. So without further ado, Echo, I would love for you to welcome Pastor Q with me, will you?
First of all, thank you guys so much. This is how I preach on Skid Row, so I didn't want to change anything. But first of all, give your worship team a hand of encouragement. People who lead us into the presence of the living God. Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And I really believe Pastor Brian and I couldn't do what we do without them. So also give the Row worship team a hand. Kale could be anywhere right now making a lot of money, but he has decided to give his gift to God, serving our houseless folks in Skid Row. And Kay, I just love Kay. No superficiality, she's just Kay. And she's real. And I don't even remember how long Kay's been with us. 14. Wow, 14 years. I'm surprised. See, I'm even surprised. And then thank Naomi. Naomi just recently joined us. And we love her heart. She has that. You can tell the row heart when somebody shows up. You know if they have the row heart. And then I would be amiss if I didn't thank my brother from another mother, Mr. Troy Hashimoto, in the back, who's Troy was the third person to come join me on Skid Row 16 years ago. Thank God for Troy. We fight all the time, but I love him to death. Here's one rule. When I speak, I hope you ain't the kind of church that don't see color. You do see color, right? I'm a black man. I'm a black preacher. So when I preach, you got to talk back to me. When I say amen, amen. Oh, you guys don't even need training. You got it. But tonight, I want to share with you what we do in Skid Row, but I will share it in an interwoven way. I will do it while speaking. And I went past, first of all, give it up for Pastor Brian. I just love his heart. Listen, it's not too many people that want to hang out with me. I'm serious. I get death threats. You know, it's not too many people that want to hang out with me. So thank you, Pastor Brian, for allowing me here. And and thank yourself and give yourselves a hand for your hospitality. I thank you so much. As I share about the church and about the church with our walls and the things that I'm involved in, I'll do it through the sermon so that I don't take time from the sermon. But there's a song that came to mind when Pastor Brian asked me to speak, and he told me a little bit about your congregation. And the song was from my favorite artist of all time. His name is Bob Marley. And the song is called So Much Trouble in the World. And for those of you guys who don't know, I was born in the Caribbean, and I was actually mentored by Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Bunny Wailer, activists who sang to me and preached to me, even though they weren't Christian preachers. The song says, so much trouble in the world. Bless my eyes this morning, Jah, sun is on the rise once again. He said, the way earthly things are going, anything can happen. You see men selling on their ego trip, blast off in their spaceships. I ain't talking about nobody's favorite billionaire. Million miles from reality, no care for you, no care for me. So much trouble in the world. How many people can identify with that? All right, I already told y'all. I'm a black pastor, you got to talk back to me. So I ask myself daily, how do we solve the troubles of the world? Can they even be solved? You ever ask yourself that? Yeah, I got one amen. I love it. So let's go to scripture and ask the Lord to expound a little bit this evening. Father, we thank you for this word. We bless you for this word. We ask that your word would go forth, rest on good soil, and bring forth fruit. And to the hearts that are not ready for your word, we ask that you would tenderize them and make them ready, and beginning with me. I want to talk about a passage of scripture from the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19. The prophet Elijah is about to go be with the Lord, and his protege Elisha won't leave him alone. They sang the song, "The Holy Ghost just won't leave me alone." The prophet, his protege Elisha, will not leave him alone because he knows his mentor is about to leave. And so he says to his mentor, or his mentor says, "Stay here, I'm about to go over there." And everywhere his mentor went, he could not shake Elisha. And so finally, I'm not going to go through the whole story, I'm paraphrasing. And so finally, Elisha said to his mentor, "Give me a double portion of your spirit, then I'm going to leave you alone." And so after that incident, this is the first thing that happens. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. The people of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well suited, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the springs and threw salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." Goodness gracious. One of the first things that occurs after Elijah is taken up into heaven is that the people of the city that they were standing by, or they were in the city of Jericho, the people, the very first thing the people do after they saw a miracle, they saw his protege or his mentor go to heaven without dying. Scholars believe that's one of the scriptures. There's this thing in scripture called the law of first mention, and that's one of the places that you can verify that there will be a rapture, because God took him without him dying. And so Elijah is gone, and now the very first thing that happens after Elijah is gone, the people of Jericho comes to the prophet of God and say, "Listen, we got a problem." The city is a great place, it's well situated, but there's a problem. The water is bad. The water was causing miscarriages and all kind of stuff. Do we have any cities in America where the water is bad? Lord Jesus, I wish I could preach tonight. Flint, Michigan. Jackson, Mississippi. People of God, we got some water, bad water in our own nation. So what do we do about it? Elisha said, "Bring me a bowl." And they brought him a bowl, and he put salt in it. Then he went to the springs and threw the salt in the springs, and it purified the water. So you're saying to me, preacher, what that got to do with me? It purifies the water. Now, earthly wisdom would say that actually the water or the salt is supposed to make the water salty. But heavenly wisdom says that salt is a preservative. Salt makes you thirsty. Oh, can I preach tonight? I want you to think about that for a minute. How did Elisha know what to do? He had just received a double portion of his mentor's spirit. That's why he knew what to do. And whose spirit is that? It is the Spirit of God. A few observations from the story. First, this was a miracle, and it was one of the first miracles that Elisha did after he received a double portion, was that he served a city, not just a person. He fixed the problem, and he went to the root of the problem. He went to the spring. One of the things with our society is that we love trying to fix around the edges. We want to be tough on crime and weak on poverty. I wish I could preach now. We love fixing the edges, but notice the man of God went to the root of the problem. Oh, I wish the church would go to the root of the problem. Second observation in that he helped the people of an entire city. Oftentimes we're great at telling people how to live in the wilderness, but we are scared to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Some of y'all gonna get that on the way home. Dodgers must be playing high pitch right over your head. Or the angels. Listen. He threw the salt in the spring at the source, meaning he addressed the root causes. And I keep saying that because what I've learned about us is that we generally don't want to address the root causes because it may cost us something. You say, how does this story apply to my life today? As the people of God, in order for people to trust you enough to tell you the issues in their city that they're facing, they have to know that we, the people of God, come on now, they have to know that we, the people of God, are the people of God, and that we care about them more than we care about their problems. You missed it. Oftentimes, we care more about the problem than the person being affected by the problem. I'm going to hurt some people tonight, and I'm Pastor Brian, if you don't have to, if they don't want you to invite me back, it's okay. We still cool. We're going to go to lunch. We're going to do whatever. That is the problem I have with abortion. We care more about abortion than we care about the people that it affects. So much so that we would pass a law that bans it totally, and a 10-year-old girl have to leave her state and go to another place after she had been raped, go to another place to get an abortion. Come on, somebody. I know that's not Jesus. She's 10. I'm not saying you can't have things you feel morally upright or uptight about. But where does the wisdom of God come in? Certainly you don't think it's okay for a 10-year-old to have a kid. And if it was your kid, after she had been raped, you wouldn't want her to carry that baby. She's 10. Y'all, in order to solve these problems, we need to respond with the wisdom of God. We need to respond with kingdom wisdom. What I call kingdom wisdom. We need a double portion of it. Jesus takes this a little further when he said, because remember, we need to throw salt in the water, y'all. We need to throw salt in the water. Jesus takes it a little further than Elisha. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. The title of our message is Jump in the Water. You are the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. If you're the salt of the earth, jump in the water. Don't just throw salt in the water. Jump in the water. Don't just throw Pastor Brian in the water. Don't just throw somebody else in the water. You jump in. I believe God is saying we need to throw ourselves in the mix so that we can purify the water, or so that he can purify the water through us. Throw yourself in the mix. God don't need no armchair quarterbacks. Get in the game. What does it look like? Colossians tells us in Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every human being. In any situation, whether you agree or disagree, your speech must be seasoned with salt and grace. I'm going to read it again because I like it so much. Let your speech always be with grace. Always be with grace. Never without grace. Grace don't take a vacation. Seasoned with salt. How many people like bland food? No. You want it seasoned with salt. Then why is our nation bland? Because we ain't jumping in the water. Oh, Lord, I'm talking to myself. In the book of James, chapter 3, the brother of Jesus, who was walking with Jesus and grew up with Jesus, and Mary was always probably like, why can't you be more like Jesus? I wouldn't want to grow up with Jesus. I'm sorry. You want to grow up with Jesus? And I just sing something about the name Jesus. And that's why I wasn't up here singing. Right? I just sang that in my heart. I made a joyful noise unto the Lord. But I wouldn't want to grow up with Jesus. I'm telling you that right now. Mary was probably like, James, come on, man. But James, in his older years, really wise. You can tell he walked with Jesus. He had godly wisdom. He said in James chapter 3, verse 13, if you are wise and understands God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. If you understand the ways of God, how many people believe you understand the ways of God? Nobody raised their hand. I hope I'm not the only one. Many of us lack the wisdom of God. Many of us do not understand God's ways. But James explains God's ways to us. There's no need for confusion. It's very clear. He says, kingdom wisdom in James chapter 3 is good works with humility. Not with arrogance. James chapter 3 verse 17. But the wisdom of God, or the wisdom from above, is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times. Gentle at all times. There's that grace word again. Always with grace. And willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. What does full mean? That's right. At capacity. You can't add no more. Are you full of mercy? Oh, goodness gracious. And he said, and the fruit of good deeds. Do you know you can't manufacture good deeds? You can manufacture good deeds, but you can't manufacture fruit. That's why he said the fruit of good deeds. Ooh, I wish I could preach tonight. The fruit of good deeds. That means you've got to cultivate something in order for good deeds to grow. Meditate on that. He said, the wisdom from above is pure. The word pure there means affirmative. Affirmative as in, if it's reality, it's reality. COVID-19 is real. It is not a hoax. There was a preacher. We had to, if you Googled anything about me, you know that at the beginning of COVID-19, there was a worship leader named Sean Foyt who came to Skid Row and wanted to come and pray with people without a mask on because Jesus would heal. I'm like, dude, there's a hospital with a bunch of COVID-19 people. Go there and heal those folks. There are people who are dying of COVID-19. Go there and heal those folks. So the gentleman who brought him is part of a church in LA. And so I organized 100 car protests to stop him. He sent me a text after he read the article in the LA Times about what I said about them. And he said, you will be hearing from my lawyer. 30 days later, he passed away of COVID-19. He said, the wisdom of God is pure, peace-loving, or peaceable, or relating to peace. It is gentle at all times. The word is patient, moderation, fear, mind, and the word I like most is equitable. I tell people all the time, equity is better than charity. Even though we need charity, equity is better than charity. Because equity means that not only are you giving somebody something, that means you're giving them the power to get it on their own as well. And you might have to give up some of your power. I hope somebody is with me this evening. Willing to yield to others. The word there is good for persuasion, compliant, easily obeying. I like the good for persuasion because it means that if you think something is one way and you are persuaded by the truth that is not, do not stand your ground. Do not be wrong and strong. Godly wisdom says, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong. Willing to yield to others. He said, wisdom from above is full of mercy and the fruits of good deed and kindness or goodwill towards others. No, not just others. Goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. Well, I need to know why they're miserable and afflicted before I help them. That's not what the text says. The text doesn't make us investigative journalists. It makes us apply the wisdom from above. He said it doesn't show partiality, wisdom from above. James had already told us what earthly wisdom looked like. He said it's self-serving. And arrogant. So this was a contrast to earthly wisdom. And then I said it earlier, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That's what it says here in verse 18. How do you plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness? Just follow the list I told you above. But you have to plant the seed so that you can reap a harvest. Earthly wisdom tries to force people to follow your religion. Earthly wisdom is always trying to boast about how we love Jesus, not in a way of humility like we did tonight doing worship, but in a different type of way. But wisdom from above makes you a gardener. You can't, people say all the time, we need unity. And I say, we need justice. Unity is not always good if it's rooted in injustice. Let's go to the scripture, the law of first mention. The Tower of Babel. God created confusion because they weren't operating with godly wisdom. Jesus says, come together, but over me. Right now, y'all know the song, over me, which means that if you come together over Jesus, everything I just talked about will be evident in your life. Goodwill towards others, gentle at all times, willing to lead, yield to others, peace loving, pure, growing a harvest, becoming a peacemaker. You don't become a peacemaker after the fight or the conflict have begun. You have to create an environment that produces the fruits of peace. What does that look like? You guys remember a couple weeks ago, a brother walked up to me. It was actually the day after I received a death threat, right? Brother walks up to me and he goes, you Pastor Q? And I was like, because you know, you never know. And he goes, I just spent 9 years in prison and I was watching you on TV. I'm like, oh, he must have saw the PBS special. You never know what God is doing. while we were planting, and I looked at it the other day and saw Kay and saw KO and everybody, and you forget. So in 2019, I was chosen as a KCET and PBS Southern California local hero. And they played the service, the portion of the service that PBS recorded, they played it for a year and a half straight. Every week. People were coming up to me on the street. I saw you on TV, Pastor. I saw you on TV. But I never knew people were watching it in prison. So when the brother said that to me, it blessed my heart. Because that's fruit I didn't know about. And I'm not going chasing looking for fruit. The fruit is coming after me. The fruit is coming after us. It wasn't just for me. When the brother said, I was watching you in prison, I'm sure it encouraged everybody who heard him. Because we have been planting a harvest. We've been planting the seeds of mercy for 16 years. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. So many people have a problem with Black Lives Matter. They don't have a problem with Blue Lives Matter. They just have a problem with Black Lives Matter, which is kind of okay. Black Lives Matter became the largest movement for social justice. That's what historians are saying. In the history of America and the world, including the Civil Rights Movement. Led by women. Yes. There are trans folks and all kind of folks. That bothers some of you guys. Some preachers didn't want to. He said, but they're led by women. And I'm like, good. We got too many egos. Good, I love it. I went to pray at the police commission with the women of Black Lives Matter right after Trayvon Martin. And I felt like God was saying to me, sit at their feet and learn. Now people in Black Lives Matter call me the people's pastor. But I didn't ask for that. I learned so much from being in that space. And one of the things the Lord revealed to me, said, you want to know why you've been part of the largest movement for social justice in the history of America and the world? 71 different countries. Nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize and won the Chatham House Award, which is given in Europe, a centurion award that's given every 100 years. Black Lives Matter got that. You want to know why you're part of that movement? I was like, well, Lord, in my spirit, I felt like God was saying, because who could articulate that? What I did like a preacher. You see, we had been organizing since way before George Floyd in 2013. So by the time we got ready to lead the march, we had already been organizing on the ground. And so we went to over there off the 3rd Street, over there by... What's that place, the 3rd Street Promenade or whatever, wherever we had to march. And we expected 5,000 people. There were 20,000 people. God didn't cause it, but he used the death of George Floyd make Black Lives Matter the greatest movement for social justice in the history of the world, because he wanted to show the church something. Because there's a lot of stuff you don't agree with. But do God think Black Lives Matter independent of all other lives? Of course he does. Godly wisdom. Lead with mercy. Lead with grace. The book of Galatians tell us we're not under the law. The book of Hebrews tells us we're not under the law. But why is it that we're trying to push the law in the world when Jesus has already fulfilled the law? Grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just sometime, all the days of my life. I also work with clergy and laity united for economic justice. Remember when the little Muslim boy, 5 years old, was taken from his parents at the airport? I was there protesting. Because I don't care what people think about me. I will go into the places that people don't are scared to go and declare, thus saith the Lord, let that little child go. So the hip-hop smoothie shop is outside. And the reason we started that was because I noticed how hard it is to talk about these things. And as an ex-hip-hop artist, used to be signed to Virgin Records for 4 years. We use hip-hop to make a few people rich. But our communities are still the same. So we started the Hip-Hop Smoothie Shop. It's a co-op or cooperative. It's a worker-owned co-op. They own it, the people who are outside. Because we need to democratize economics. And who but the people of God to come up with creative ways outside of the model that's destroying our people? God is a creator. So we better be creative. There are stories about the smoothies. Each of them have a story. Bronzeville, Sugar Hill. Most of you guys probably, if you're into hip hop, you know what Sugar Hill is, the first hip hop record to go commercial. But there's a smoothie called the Bronzeville. And we use the smoothies to tell, we give you something sweet to talk about tough issues. One of the smoothies is called Strange Fruit. One of our most popular, by the way. How many people heard of Strange Fruit? You know what it is, right? But there's a smoothie called the Bronzeville. And I'll close with that. And the Bronzeville smoothie is about the 1940s during World War II, when Japanese were being interned unjustly. Unjustly, take kicked out of their homes. Central Avenue runs from South Central into Little Tokyo. In the 1940s, when the Japanese were kicked out, Black folks started migrating from South Central into Little Tokyo to occupy the homes that Japanese left. Between 1st and 5th Street, is where the emergence of jazz appeared in Los Angeles during that time. And of course, when the Japanese came back about 4 years later, black folks had to move out. But notice there was a houseless problem or homeless problem even way back then. Because all of those, at the same time that the Japanese were sent into internment camp, black folks or African Americans were actually migrating from the South, fleeing the KKK, and of course to find work as well, and went to the North and came to the West, ended up in South Central, down into Little Tokyo. For 4 years, it was called Bronzeville. That's why the hip-hop smoothie shop, the Bronzeville Smoothie, is named really after George Washington Carver, who created peanut butter, the black man who created peanut butter and all that other stuff, and is sprinkled with Japanese matcha. Because it's important to understand that the same system oppressed both people groups. And as the people of God, we better know this stuff so we know how to have wisdom, how to approach it and fight it. As the people of God, we can bring unity. We can jump in the water. We are the salt of the earth. We can season the water. We can purify the water. And we can preserve this world if we jump in the water. God bless you.
Well, let's pray, guys. How many of you guys know, I do feel like God is doing a major shift in our church. Do you feel that? You know, I know a lot of us are from, the Asian background. I really think our parents' generation was about survival. But I really believe that our generation is about being sent into that water. I really do. Or else, why are we here? Right? When we started Echo, we really believed that California, Southern California, was the mission field God was sending us into. Hello? And that if we... I think we would do injustice to our parents' generation if we just made it about us and we just made it about our survival. Thank God for those big churches that they built. Thank God for the big movements. Amen, right? And it made us. It made us. It had us have awesome summer camps and conferences, and we all met Jesus in an awesome way and had encounters. But for what? Why did God make us so salty? It's not for us. Amen? So let's do that. Let's let God inscribe that in our hearts today. Lord, I am that salt that you want to send. And I know right now, many of you, like me, you're like, almost disoriented. It's different, isn't it? When you hear a what I will call a real prophetic word, it's disorienting to our Orange County minds, isn't it? But I remember when Pastor Dave Gibbons introduced me to you, and I remember, is he here? Oh, hi, Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave's here. I remember when I asked him, I said, what do I do? You know, how do I get involved? What do I do? You know, as a young pastor, I'm like, I want to do something. And I remember Pastor Dave says something to me that I think is a word for all of us. He said, Brian, you just listen. You take time to first absorb what God is doing and saying. So when he introduced me to Pastor Q, he was like, take the posture of listening. Don't go there to try to fix anything, right? What a powerful word that he gave us about people over problems. Man, God is doing something. So how many of you guys know, you know, I know some of you guys right now are like, oh, it's like, it's so raw. But how many of you guys know we need more Pastor Q's in our lives? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. So let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you so much, God, that you have chosen us to be salt. Even when we don't think much of ourselves, you think much of us. And you actually believe in us to send us into our world, into our families, our workplaces, our cities. Lord, we ride on that belief, your belief in us, not our belief in our own talents and charisma. But we believe in Jesus' faith in us that you want to send us into the world. So I pray that blessing, that courage, God, that conviction over all of us. And I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen.